The angel Gabriel plays a key role in three major world religions, in Christendom, in Islam, and in Judaism. And beliefs about his role and his words are a great concern to many millions of people in the world. For example, the Roman Catholic Church claims that when Gabriel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, he said, "Hail, Mary, full of grace." And this "full of grace" term came from Jerome's Latin Vulgate translation that occurred around 400 AD. And it arose from his high view of Mary's virginity that in turn came from his reliance on the pseudo-gospel of Mary and the protoevangelium of James. These are works that are not found in any Christian Bible. They're not in the Roman Catholic Bible and they're not in the Protestant Bible either. But they were works that were viewed as being extra-canonical or outside of the Bible. But he used that as an emphasis on Mary. Nevertheless, the Vulgate's claim that Mary is full of grace has let the Roman Catholic Church assert that she is the bestower of God's grace. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 722 claims that since Mary was full of grace, quote, "she was, by sheer grace, conceived without sin." Catholic.com now claims that this "full of grace" term implies that Mary's role as the new Eve, her immaculate conception, her spiritual motherhood of all Christians, and her assumption to heaven. Now, as a result, the Roman Catholic Church has come to teach that one must go through Mary in order to be saved, to have eternal life. Canonized saint Bishop Alphonse de Liguori wrote in The Glories of Mary, quote, "The way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary. He who is protected by Mary will be saved. He who is not will be lost." And because of this, the Hail Mary prayer, a prayer first based on the angel Gabriel's Luke 1:28 words in the Latin Vulgate, a prayer that starts, "Hail Mary, full of grace," has been directed by the church to end with the request, quote, "Holy Mary, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." So it's all grown out of Luke chapter 1:28. Many in Christendom believe that the angel Gabriel's words to Mary in Luke 1:28 of the Latin Vulgate teach that since she is full of grace, unless they seek her help by praying the Hail Mary for salvation, they will end up in hell. Now, this, you may wonder why you're preaching a sermon like this. You'd be amazed at how many people have started to come to Nepog Church over the years who continued to pray the Hail Mary prayer, thinking that that's what they were supposed to do, and maybe 6 months, 8 months down the road, they found out, oh, we don't pray to Mary. And that was kind of like a revelation. So I think it's always good for us, and since about half of our congregation are former Roman Catholic in background, and we have lots of Roman Catholic associates and friends and so forth, it's good for us to focus on this. So we ask ourselves the question, do Gabriel's words to Mary in Luke chapter 1 mean she is our hope of salvation, that we must pray the Hail Mary to her to escape hell and gain eternal salvation? The need section reads, did the angel Gabriel tell Mary that she was the giver of divine grace so that we must pray the Hail Mary to her to gain salvation? Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, and the King James Version says, Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast about in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Okay. The Greek New Testament clarifies Gabriel's words to Mary. I went back to the Greek New Testament to do some works because, remember, the New Testament was originally written in the Greek. And it's the Greek New Testament that we're using. We go beyond the Latin Vulgate, go beyond the English, and so forth. Gabriel's word, hail, it's used in the King James and the Latin Vulgate, to Mary in Luke 1:28, is from the Greek word kaire, a common greeting that was used even by Jesus to the women who ran from his empty tomb when he told them greetings. Remember in Matthew 28, verse 9, the women had been at the tomb and they'd seen the angels. The angels said, he's not here, he's risen. So they started to run back. And Jesus met them. And in the New International Versions, it says, greetings. The King James says, all hail. It's the same word, kaire, except it's used in the plural because he's speaking to more than one person. He's speaking to the women. But it was a common greeting that even Jesus used of other people who were believers in him. Now, Luke 1:28, the word in the Latin Vulgate renders full of grace, and the King James renders it highly favored. The Greek word is kekaratomene. It's a perfect passive participle of the main verb karatao, to bestow favor upon. Now, the way this word is used here and elsewhere in the New Testament reveals that Mary was a recipient of God's grace. She was not a giver of it. And I want to show this. You'll notice that karakatomene is the passive voice. Now, in English, we have several voices. We have the active voice. He did this. That's the active. He did. If it's the passive voice, you say, it was done unto him. That's the passive. This is the passive voice. Mary is not, in this particular situation, a person who is a bestower of anything. If anything, she is someone who has had something bestowed upon her. It's the passive voice. It's not the active. It's not the middle voice. I have a middle voice in Greek where you do it for yourself, but we're not touching on that. This is the passive voice. So the passive voice means Mary was a recipient of God's favor. She was not its bestower. So the Latin Vulgate really bites a bullet at this particular point. It really does not fully represent what the Greek is actually giving. Also, the way this verb is used elsewhere in Scripture indicates that Mary has no role in saving the soul. This verb is used elsewhere in the Scripture only in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I have a complete Greek concordance, a concordance to the Greek in the Greek. It's my Moulton and Gedeon. It's a book that's about this thick, about 4.5 inches thick, and I looked it up today, this past week, and there's only two passages that have this verb, Ephesians 1, 6 and Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Now, let me read Ephesians 1, 6 in the King James Version. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The made us accepted should probably be transferred with he has graced us, or with which he has favored us in the beloved one. That's the better translation. Now, this is an interesting translation. It's translated freely given in the New International Version, where Paul wrote of the grace that God bestowed on Christians in the beloved one in Christ. And what's interesting is that Paul made no reference there to any role by Mary. He didn't say that wherein he has made us accepted, he has graced us through Mary. In fact, I looked in my concordance and I also found that the word Mary doesn't appear at all in chapter 1 of Ephesians. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't appear in the entire epistle of Ephesians. I don't think it does. But I know for sure it doesn't appear in the entire chapter 1 of Ephesians. Now, that to which God has freely given believers in Ephesians 1:6 is noted throughout verses 3 through 14 of the chapter. And Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, Ephesians 1:7 then claims that this redemption from sin by Christ's blood and forgiveness of sins by God's grace occurs with no mention of any role by Mary. It's interesting. Through Christ, you have forgiveness. Through Christ, you have redemption. Period. There's no reference to Mary there at all. Now, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and part of my master's thesis at Dallas Seminary was on these verses. These verses read, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest would be like earnest money that you get in a house. Earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Paul was writing to people at Ephesus, and in Ephesus, They had a logging industry where they would cut down logs in the forests and the upper hills, and they would bring the logs down to the harbor there at Ephesus, which is on the Mediterranean coast, and they would put these logs together and band them together. And the buyers would come from all over the known Roman world. They would see a pile of logs in the water, and they'd say, you know, I'd like to purchase those. So they would purchase them. And when they purchased the logs, they had to go and get shipping in order to bring the ship in and pull the logs back to their port. They would seal the logs. And the logs would be sealed with a great big businessman's seal, and nobody could touch those logs. And that signaled that that pile of logs, that raft of logs, so to speak, belonged to that particular owner until he came and he redeemed them. He came back with the ship, hooked the ship up to the logs, and he pulled them off. And this is where Paul got the idea, sealed with the Spirit. Sealed like those logs were sealed. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. As a believer, you're sealed here, and you're, so to speak, you're on the earth, but you're sitting in the harbor until Jesus Christ comes back and takes you to be with him at the rapture. So that's where the picture comes from. So Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 asserts believers are unconditionally kept saved in the salvation status God has freely given them, a status guarded by God the Holy Spirit, who acts as God's seal of the believer's salvation until the day of redemption, the rapture of the church. And you'll notice there's no reference to any role by Mary. I read in verses 13 and 14 about salvation and security and the day of redemption. No reference to Mary. So the believer's redemption, his forgiveness of sins, his unconditional salvation security are all freely given unto him, karitao, by God without any reference to any role by Mary. So if Mary is not named in these things, but is only a recipient of God's favor in Luke chapter 1:28, she has no role in saving the soul. Isn't that something? When Jesus was on the cross, he turned to the thief and he said, "Behold, you will be with me today in paradise." There's nothing said in that passage about the thief talking about Mary or going through Mary. None of that. Jesus said, "I am telling you, you will be with me in paradise." Salvation is apart from Mary. Also, the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, in the context at verse 30, implied that Mary was in a long line of other sinful but saved saints in the Bible. How do I get that? The target text that we have here is Luke chapter 1, and verse 30 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That phrase, "thou hast found favor," is a Semitic favor. Semitic, rather, phrase. It's a phrase that was used by Jewish people of the time. Luke 1:30 claims that Gabriel told Mary that she had found favor with God. Now, this Hebrew expression is used for how men like Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, and Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, also found favor with God. Let me just look at that this morning. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Talks about how Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, even though everybody else in his generation was condemned to die in the flood. He wasn't. And this didn't mean that he was not a sinner, but he was a man who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. At beginning at verse 7 of Genesis 6, it says, "The Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it makes me sorry, or repents me, that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I turn over to Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken of, for thou hast found favor or grace in my sight, and I know thee by my name. So it's amazing that these men, Noah and Moses, both of them were men who were not perfect, but they were saints. They'd found favor with God. So both Noah and Moses were saved sinners, implying that Mary was in a long line of godly Old Testament saved sinners. You see, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, he was speaking to a woman who is a Jewess. She was in a long line of people who had been believers, going back to Noah, Moses, and so forth. And he says, just as those men have found favor in God's eyes, you have found favor. See? She's just a regular person, just like the rest of us. Now, if we apply these findings, it reveals that the angel Gabriel intended that Mary to be seen only as a recipient of God's grace to her. First, the word hail was an ordinary greeting, one used by Jesus to ordinary Christians saved by him, so that such a greeting does not itself suggest an exalted spiritual role for Mary. I know that the Catholic Church uses the word hail in an exalted sense. But keep in mind, Jesus himself referred to these other ladies, several of the Marys who were there, and he used the same word. It's translated hail or all hail. It's translated what, greetings. It's like hello in our language. That's all it is. It's just a greeting. Then, second, the passive voice in the participle, kekaratomene, from the verb karatao in Luke 1:28, shows that Gabriel saw Mary as a recipient of God's favor, not one who bestows God's grace unto others. In fact, we're going to show this. The Roman Catholic Church has produced an ecumenical Bible trying to win over more converts who are Americans. It's called the New American Bible. And they actually translate it now, hail, favored one. They've actually changed the translation from the Vulgate, but they're still holding on to the Vulgate, which is interesting. Third, the way the verb karatao is used in Ephesians 1:6, this verb's only appearance in the New Testament outside of Luke 1:28, shows that by the context that Mary has no role of granting grace to others. Jesus is the one who redeems us. It's by the blood of Jesus that we are saved and we find forgiveness. The Holy Spirit seals us. None of that refers to Mary. Fourth, as this Ephesians 1:6 freely given grace, karatao, of God includes redemption and forgiveness of sins, Mary has no role in providing redemption or forgiveness of sins for others. So for the Hail Mary prayer to end saying, pray for us and us sinners in the hour of our need, is incorrect. In fact, we believe that people no longer pray once they get on the other side of eternity. They are in the presence of the Lord. The only time people pray is on this side of eternity. So, you know, to ask Mary to pray for it, it doesn't work at this particular point, or anyone else. Fifth, since this Ephesians 1 freely given favor or karatao of God to Christians also includes the sealing of God, the Holy Spirit, and unconditional salvation security, every believer in Christ is eternally secured not because of any need for Mary's involvement, but rather by the unconditional salvation sealing of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is God. You're sealed in your salvation by God. How can Mary improve on that? She's not God. Even the Roman Catholic Church will tell you that she's not God. So her work for one cannot improve on what God already does. And God himself acts as the seal. He's there. He himself embodies the seal. So you're locked in by salvation. The Holy Spirit, in fact, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is going to be with us forever. In fact, when we go up into heaven, according to Revelation chapter 5, you have the elders there, and the Spirit of God is still connected with them. The Holy Spirit is now indwelling you. He's going to be with you 10 million years from now. 10 billion years from now, it's still going to be the Holy Spirit because he's keeping you there. You're sealed. That's a wonderful truth. And then sixth, the fact that nowhere in Ephesians 1 in the Greek Testament does Paul even refer to Mary shows that the believer's salvation is fully handled by God through Christ alone without any involvement by Mary. Seventh, the fact that Mary found favor with God, like her Old Testament sinful but saved forefathers, implies the angel Gabriel saw her as being in a long line of saved sinners who were favored by God. Now, we don't in any way want to drag Mary down and make her a bad person. We don't do that. She certainly was a godly young woman. God chose a young woman. In fact, her Magnificat, I think, which has 8 or 10 verses, quotes from 14 or 15 different passages of the Old Testament. And that's remarkable for a woman who would have been about 14 years of age for her to have such biblical knowledge. God saw fit that he put his son into a home where the word of God was loved and used. And Mary certainly was a dear, godly Christian woman. I mean, a believer. But that's just what she was. She was a believer, just like any believer here. She was a believer who was graced by God, and that's how we're supposed to view her. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary as a saved sinner upon whom God had bestowed great favor like he does every other believer in Jesus. Gabriel's true Christmas message then is one of hope, that God's full grace is administered to every true believer in Christ by Christ alone. See, we don't have to pray through some other saint. We don't have to go through someone like Mary. We don't have to go through anyone. We go through Jesus Christ. We're getting ready for a communion service that we're going to have just after the sermon is finished this morning. And when we get to the point where we talk about if we have any sins, we need to confess it, I'll repeat again, once again, just as we have many times before. You find the confession for that sin through God, to God, praying to God in the name of Jesus, period. Because Jesus is our sole mediator, the sole one who represents us. He's the only one who represented us and died for us on the cross. Our salvation goes only through Jesus. There is no other name, the Bible says, under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2 says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we need to rest in that truth. So may we trust in Christ for salvation from sin and hell. Then may we realize that the angel Gabriel spoke of Mary only as a recipient of God's grace to others, and rest in our true, full salvation through Jesus Christ alone this Christmas. Now in the conclusion section, to reach out to Protestants for ecumenical unity, the Roman Catholic Church produced the New American Bible. I happen to have a copy of it in my office. According to the September 18, 1970 letter of the Pope that introduces this Bible, it was produced in cooperation with our separated brethren. The expression separated brethren, of course, refers to Protestants. Now of note, in Luke 1:28 in the Bible, it reads, "And coming to her, he," that would be the angel Gabriel, "said, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." So Jerome's AD 400 Latin Vulgate words, "Hail, full of grace," has been modified in the New American Bible with the expression, "Hail, favored one," a peaceful gesture towards Protestants. I have to tell you that I have no problem whatsoever with the New American Bible's translation at that verse. "Hail, favored one," is accurate. That is exactly what the Greek renders, because it represents Mary as one who has been favored. However, the Roman Catholic Church, even after Vatican II, still holds to the Latin Vulgate's full of grace expression, and so it extols an elaborate false theology of Mary's Immaculate Conception, her spiritual motherhood of all Christians, her assumption to heaven, and it directs the Hail Mary prayer to be said by the Roman Catholic devout, allegedly to secure Mary's help in the salvation of their souls. So beyond correcting translating Luke 1:28 in the New American Bible, we believe that the Roman Catholic Church must also recant all of its unbiblical exaltations of Mary and the errant translation of Luke 1:28 in the Latin Vulgate that opened the door for these errors to rise. Until then, we hold firmly to the points made in this sermon. So all we ask is that the church become consistent and that it switch over to that particular translation in Luke chapter 1:28 in the New American Bible. And then, therefore, would have to do away with all of this other theology that's been built up about Mary. That likely won't happen, but that's what needs to happen. So may we rest in the truth that the angel Gabriel presented Mary as being very blessed of God, to be a recipient of his favor, to bear the Messiah and the incarnate Son of God. She was graced, just like the rest of us believers in Jesus Christ are richly graced of God in our salvation. May we rejoice in God's grace this Christmas and rest in what Christ has done for us. We don't have to say Hail Marys. We don't have to say Our Fathers. We don't have to pray to some particular saint or someone else. You certainly don't have to beseech Pastor Shelf or something. All you have to do is to rejoice in the fact that by faith alone in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the truth that is presented in your word, especially in the autographed manuscripts. May we thus rest in the grace of God that has been completely presented to us fully in Jesus through his cross. All the redemption we need, all the forgiveness of sins, all the security of salvation, it's wrapped up through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and God the Father alone. Thank you for that, and may we rejoice in that this Christmas. And Father, if there's anyone who's with us this morning or who may be listening by way of the webcast who as yet does not know Jesus Christ, does not have assurance of salvation because they haven't trusted in Christ, that they may find eternal life today by believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.